Hi, AJ and the Queen fans. We're getting ready to discuss episode 2, Pittsburgh. What did we really think about that Tina Turner fight? We're about to tell you, so stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz.
Hello, 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 AJ and the Queen fans, and hopefully some RuPaul Drag Race fans out there. I just want to give a quick shout out. Thanks to everybody who's watching us live. I don't have the live chat here, but Ollie has it. So if he wants to shout out some peeps.
Yes, Billie Jean, Chucky Chuck, Joseph Boza, Ken Ken. We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in.
Love you. Thank you for tuning in. I am your host, 123 Jackie B. With me today is Ronnie.
Yay! Hello.
Jayla and Ollie.
Hey.
We're going to discuss episode 2, Pittsburgh. So overall thoughts on the episode, you guys? Like, first impressions? Because we did mention that pilots are rough. And what I was trying to say in the last episode is the reason pilots are rough is because oftentimes you'll have somebody shoot a pilot, and then you'll test it in front of an audience, and then you have all this time before they actually order the series. And that doesn't always happen. Sometimes they go straight to series. So I don't know what happened here. But in some cases, you have so much of a gap between when you shot the pilot and when you shot the series that sometimes the series feels more organic, the rest of the series, than the pilot does. So,
yeah.
Just a little insider topic.
No, I thought it was really... Sorry to cut you off. Did I cut you off, Jayla?
I didn't say anything.
No.
I said nothing.
All I was going to say that I really enjoyed this episode more than the pilot. I enjoyed the pilot. But I think this episode brought a lot of really great, fascinating like talking points, such as like Rue... talking about tipping, like even like your waiter or waitress, which is obviously relates to tipping at the Queens. But if you go see a drag show, things about gender and growing up with AJ and the whole discussion about her, a girl, but not wanting to be a girl and she disguising herself as a boy, which we'll talk about more in depth. But lots of great discussions. And even though it was only like 50 minutes, it was so many talking points that I really just was astounded by and I really loved it.
I most especially liked, the song moment with the what is the song from the little whorehouse?
Oh, best little whorehouse in Texas.
Yes,
girl, you're a woman.
Felt good, and I also thought leading the episode, I was definitely more into episode 2 than 1, which is okay. But I think the diner scene was really good because it allowed you as a viewer to sort of look at the character, Rue's character, and be like, you gotta be a little more strict, or more assertive, and then you're like. You want to almost scold the child, which is great because it's giving me this sense, because I've only watched as we're going. It gives me this sense of so much growth that we're going to see of the character. So that was exciting to me because I'm watching like, I want to strangle, this attitude that,
This reminds me of that movie very early, Debbie Reynolds. I can't remember the name of the movie, but she was a troubled teen, and she marries the guy at the end, but that's besides the point. They developed this, like, tit-for-tat, like, rough relationship, and then they find this common ground through adversity, and I feel like this is, like you said, this is, like, on the road to what they're doing, no pun intended, but every moment that I caught, I was like, okay, Netflix, because we got to see, like a mention and a breakdown about the gender, like you said, gender spectrum, and even, like, tipping your waiter, which is more important. So.
And I also like season 2's cameos from the Queens, almost more than one. I know there was more cameos, but the ones that were in 2, I really liked. That's all.
I think
that's
it means
personal...
more, though. The cameos mean more if you can spend a lot of time on a littler amount of people, because in the first episode, whereas... it was kind of like bam, 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 and you
literally,
and everybody had like one line. Whereas the cameos in this one, they had a little bit more to say,
and they were bigger stars, like Jinx.
Yeah, bigger
personalities. Jinx's jokes were hilarious.
You have like a great point. I wish that they did kind of break up certain queens, like to give them more space and more dialogue and more a bigger part.
And we haven't watched the rest of the episode, so maybe they do come back, and we don't know. Another thing that one of the things that I noticed that I kind of thought about when I didn't realize until yesterday when we were coming into the studio that the episode titles are just the names of the city,
right?
That they're visiting, and then I looked at the rest of the episode titles, and I was like, oh yeah, they're doing like a complete southern route, which makes sense to get from New York to Dallas. And I was also thinking, symbolically, this is kind of like an area that, and they touch on this, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit into three, so it's like...
Are you cheating on us, Jackie?
I'm not. I'm trying to be careful.
She's preparing.
And okay. Damian Sanchez.
And I'm stopping. We're going forward. Okay. Going forward, we're doing like one episode at a time, so this doesn't happen. But they're showing you a drag queen showing up in these like very southern cities to kind of give you an idea that, you know, there are places in these cities where there are drag bars and there are like people that you can meet that might surprise you, you know, like yeah. In this episode we have the waitress who's like so very kind to them, you know, and part of it has to do with the tipping, but but I like that idea that instead of going to cities where you typically think, okay, like they would be touring big cities like LA and Chicago.
Yeah, like a Miami, yeah.
Miami.
Where acceptance is a different thing.
Yeah. Right, right. Where you expect to have like a big drag audience. Instead, you have, you know, Pittsburgh. And I was seeing that they go to like Baton Rouge. And
okay.
And so
we'll see.
I'm very intrigued to see like what happens with that going further on,
and the connections with the queens from the local versus like the New York City queen. Like even seeing that, you know, bits of frustration. I guess, you know, they were close at one point and they had lost that relationship. So we're just queens from Pittsburgh. You know, like stuff like that. That felt very authentic. Like we were peeking behind the glass of
yeah.
And I think you talked about this yesterday. Ruby was going to be toned down, right? You know, it wasn't going to be like all perfect makeup the whole way. I liked how we saw the drag queens mid, you know, getting ready, which looked really mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah. Oh, Susan slept here. That's the movie, the Dead
Oh!
Widow. It's a very young sure movie. Did. It's called Susan Slept Here. And it's kind of it's the same AJ and the Queen like story without the drag, and they get married. So, I have to say that AJ and the Queen might be what we need to revive gay bars all over this nation.
Yeah.
You get to see, because there are a lot of gay bars are dying out. Like, you go to the clubs now and they're very, very empty, and you see the girls who are down and out. But this might, like, because we have Drag Race. So we don't need to see our local queens. We can go to Work the World Tour and see our favorites. But I feel like this brings back the, like, natural, authentic feel of where these girls started from and the tipping. Because the girls don't, I mean, they don't really get paid that much, like, at these bars. And then we're tipping them one and two. So the tipping aspect of it, and they always say this at other shows, like even in the South drag shows, tipping isn't a city, it's China. And that's how they open their show.
Yeah.
And so I think this episode about the tipping.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I like that you bring that up, because I think a lot of people forget that there are like a lot of young fans who watch Drag Race or just love the art of drag, and they're not allowed to go in the bar. So it is important to have like a show like AJ and the Queen. But I think it's like we have to get the best of both worlds. We have to still go out and continue. Go when it's not a Drag Race night. Go all like Mondays.
Support
go
your
to
local
Mickey's.
Queens. Everybody say it. Support your local queens.
No shade there. But yeah, it's very important like that you bring that up.
And for those straights out there, don't go just when it's a bachelorette party.
Yeah, and that was another thing, too. So we get to see everything that happens in a gay bar on Netflix. So they got it right.
And even, what was the line? Oh, that's the smell of gay bar in the afternoon. Just those these lines are, you could just tell the writer's room was very like specific to like stuff that we would relate to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to switch to the first topic is, so we roll right into AJ explaining her reasons for wanting to dress like a boy, because we had the reveal at the end of the previous episode that she was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something I actually really related to, because let's see if I can pull up the quote, but it was something you talked about yesterday, Ollie, about how
she doesn't want to be treated.
She doesn't want to be. Oh, people. She says people leave boys alone.
Yeah, and when that happened, I was like, oh, you did mention that. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, how she's explaining that people leave boys alone, and if she's out on the streets and she's like hustling for money, people are going to take her more seriously,
right,
or people are going to be less of a bother to her.
Yeah,
and it makes sense that like her only representation of like a woman figure in her life is her mom, who has abandoned her and is is on the streets. So she
and you call
she
that too.
She doesn't want to mm-hmm. be a woman, but really, it's like Ruby's there to like showcase, no, you are a woman, and you could be whatever you want to be. And I thought that was a very powerful message that was in the episode, along with a bunch of other powerful messages. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Like I was like, damn, I didn't think that. I thought the show was going to be a lot more camp, but it has so much heart to it.
Yeah,
we're only on episode two.
I found myself tearing up every episode. I've only been in two episodes so far, so I've been like, oh, this is great. So it's very sweet. Like I said, I am fully converted. I'm fully invested into AJ and the Queen, and we hope you guys are too.
Yeah,
it's very heartwarming.
Yes.
So then they get to the bar in Pittsburgh, and They have these cameos, and it's Katya, whose character is Magda, and then Jinx, whose character is Edie. And why do I get the feeling that they got to pick out their names?
Well, okay, so this is the tea I was telling you about before the show. I was going to release some tea here. Oh. My source is What's the Tea Podcast, of course. Katya was recently on there, and Rue tells Katya... I think her name was going to be something else, like more Russian that she picked. And she goes, they do ADR for the show, and that's audio digital re-recording or recording.
I don't remember. You know what's so funny is, like, I don't
I also
remember.
Don't remember. I just use
the term ADR.
Yeah, well, for the people who don't know, they watch the show back in a studio, mm-hmm. and they try to mouth off the words if they can't get the audio right when they're shooting it. Mm-hmm. So Rue changes Katya's name and calls her Magda after they were filming. So Rue has to tell Katya, oh, your name's not going to be whatever the name was on the podcast. It's going to be this. So she's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. So it was like a little quick voiceover. So when she said it before the show came out, so I was listening to it. I was like, okay, where is he going to be? And then you can kind of hear
Okay.
It was
so
off
so subtle, though. Yeah,
Rue has to pick out the names.
Yes.
Then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, Jinx is having Edie. I was like, that's so on the money.
Yeah, it's very
like
little Edie.
Yeah. And it was fun seeing them because they're two beloved queens.
And I'm so jealous of Izzy G. She gets to work with all these amazing queens. Yeah. And like she's doing her part, doing phenomenal. And she's inspiring them, I'm sure, because she's so, like we talked about yesterday, she's so well-spoken. And I love that.
Yeah.
Just like young kids need to be exposed to like the queer community. It's important because it's like... they can be a part of it too, or at least be allies. You know, it's really important to get people educated at a young age. And Izzy is just so bright, and I'm so happy that this show is doing that.
Yeah, because those conversations growing up, I don't remember. Like
you didn't
really touch that. You know, I remember I always say like high school was maybe two or three gay kids in the entire school, all grades. You know, it's like there was no like So the fact that young, you know, what is she about 10 years old, 12 years old,
11?
You know, they're acclimating 12. This into their vocabulary, really, and starting to judge people just on who you are.
And it's like not so much focused on the heteronormative like structure. And I think that was even like a really powerful conversation that Ruby was having with AJ about how I'm like the most open person. I'm a gay man, yet I'm already judging you about your the binary and whatnot, about
now,
what it is to be a girl. And
was this a little nod to him not letting trans people on the show?
I don't know.
Oh, not the shade button.
The first time ever in 2020.
Shayla hit the shade button.
The shade button has been pressed for 2020. I don't know what that may... I mean, I just feel like watching the conversation happen online... I see a lot of people have mixed reviews. Like, yeah, Rue is for this AJ and the Queen, but doesn't let the performers come on Drag Race.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know.
I mean, it feels like the production and the script and all that would have been done a while back. But, I mean, it could have changed. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, did it change for Rue in perspective by reading the script and go, maybe. But then it's like, this is just a character. I'm just Ruby Red in this.
I did like the way the two, the friend, the friend.
Lewis?
Because it was two different perspectives. Like, Ruby was like, oh, we gotta adhere to whatever is, AJ's identification. And then the Lewis was more of yesteryear's personality. Like, no, you know. So I found that was a really good way to do it, but it was really funny, too, is what I felt personally, you know. I thought it was nice.
But I think that also, it just shows, like, you bring it up, like, there's still a lot of growth that the LGBTQIA plus community still has to do, like, has to do. Like, there's still a lot of growth that we all have to do and not be so focused on, like, certain, like, gender roles and specific roles just because you are a certain gender.
Yeah.
So I think that's that's really important.
We don't care who you are here at the AJ and the Queen after show, but we do want you to rate the show 5 stars if you're listening right now. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Jackie B is going to tell us all the teas, honey.
Yes, if you comment on iTunes or on YouTube with a 5-star rating on iTunes and a thumbs up on YouTube, well, we can't really tell who's doing what on YouTube, but if you make a comment, you could get to be the fan of the week. So.
Yes, girl.
The fan of the week. Yeah. Oh, we're keeping that going.
Do we have, we have one today?
I have fans of the week.
Jackie is on it.
Jackie's always ready.
I got you.
Jackie's always ready. So,
Tina Turner. I love Tina Turner so much.
Okay.
That I was really excited that, because when we watch Drag Race, they had the Madonna debacle where everybody's wearing like a kimono, you know, and so
kimono she didn't.
Every once in a while you get one of those where like everybody's wearing like the same outfit. So I like that kind of like reference to Drag Race. And then I just thought I did just think it was hilarious that they're bawling it out to the Big Wheels Keep Counting.
Proud Mary.
Proud Mary.
And then, Mario Cantone's character falls, and that was Ruby's chance to just dominate the scene.
Right.
It was so good. And I loved him. In every aspect of him in this was so good.
I lost it when that happened. The whole scene. And let me break it down for you for a couple seconds. Let me tell you why I love this scene. So, this show kind of has those cutaways, like The Office and Parks and Rec. Like, remember that one time that happened?
Family Guy.
And then it goes into it. So I love that about this show. And then seeing them do the Proud Mary dance, I was proud that Rue didn't need the body double from Christmas Queens. The Christmas Queen's body double was not there, honey.
Yeah, can I hit my shade button, too?
Hit the shade button, honey. So, seeing Rue actually do the Proud Mary routine and doing the turns, and I was cheering on, like, go, Rue.
Not
like, this
the Christmas special.
I will never get this in person. Rue will never perform this in front of me. So I am appreciating it on my 4K HD TV, and I'm loving it the whole time. And then they go to the part where, this platform can't hold 2. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is about to happen. And I see the heels, like, clacking the stage, and they fall over. And this physical comedy has always been, like, a thing for me, from Charlie Chaplin to Raven Simone.
Okay.
Physical comedy is a thing. So I was in immediate tears when I saw this, and Rue was being, like you said, vulnerable and capable to the role, and the wig was going back and forth. Absolutely loved it. And this is why RuPaul is mother.
I also love how well written this show. So this episode was ostensibly written by Rue and the creator, Michael, Patrick King. So the episode was written by the two of them, and I was like, I just love how on point the jokes are in this episode. They have that line where Cher's not white, Cher is everything.
Cher's everything.
There were so many other lines. I mean, I have an actual quote of the week.
Oh, okay.
Can
we talk about a quote we like now, or we should wait for the quote
of
the week?
No, we'll wait for the quote.
Okay, because there's one that tickled me. Okay, it tickled me pink. Sorry, go.
Yeah, but there were so many lines like that in this scene that I just loved. And I have been a little sad that Tina Turner hasn't come up more on Drag Race, so it was exciting to have Tina Turner. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, because we talk about, like,
I mean, they've done some of the songs.
Well, we talk about what influences are Rue's influences.
These are definitely Rue's
picks. I mean, how great is it when it was, like, the name of the wig was, Diana, Orphan Diana, Diane Ross, or, like, because, you know, that Diana and Rue, so that had to be maybe through what Rue wants and how he envisioned what this character would look like, you know?
Excuse me.
A little kinky ASMR for our viewers.
So
no,
then,
can we
Rue, in when we go back to the present time, Rue does the Girl, You're a Woman number from The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, which is one of my favorite musicals. So I was just so excited.
Shamey, I'm not a proper gay or ally.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
No, I haven't
just
either.
Just go and watch it, you guys. Go and watch it. It's but so I did, campy.
In sad solidarity, I'm also not, but I still love it.
It has Dolly.
I know. I just saw 9 to 5 even also, and I'm really bad at that,
too. I like that one.
Yeah, I'm coming around the mountain, but yes, yes.
Okay. But Rue's look was on point.
Yes.
I love it. Was her very look. It was so good.
All Stars 1.
But like the tassels, yeah. The color, like the hair.
Oh, I love that hair. It I do so like that great. Hair. Yeah. It's very dominant.
It was like Dolly Parton goes to like outer space.
What I loved was like that there was like a PowerPoint presentation.
The flipping. Oh, flipping yeah.
And pointing
Ruth Gator Bader Ginsburg was yeah. That
yeah.
was hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the campiness of it all is what, you know, if you're a viewer but you don't know this scene, you're like, oh wow, they really like it is fun, because people probably have a perception of what it is to see a drag queen, and that's why that number, which, you know, and I love the line, speaking of lines, where it's like, oh, I'm gonna do another number for a younger demographic, or however she worded it was cool. That was very very cool.
And I think that was like a good like kind of like the transition, like showing like AJ cutting her hair, like to me that kind of took like it was symbolic in terms of her like owning who she was and kind of like deciding who she was by cutting her own hair. Like, I don't know if anyone, I'm like trying to like analyze.
Yeah,
the
we
scene,
know that about Ollie. But whenever Ollie's going through something, Ollie comes back with a different wig on.
But it was like inspiring. That's all I'm saying. I'm like, okay, this like scene is means like it means something. It's not just like Rue performing.
It,
it's like
it was also the first time. Remember, I said a second ago, it was the first time where you get to be like, well, let me hold up on my judgment, because again, I'm watching the diner scene and I'm so angry at AJ. Like, I just am like trying to like almost hoping that Ruby gets more aggressive, you know, something. But then you see that and you're like, you just feel the emotion, you know, mixed with the song. It really was perfect.
Well, I mean, and AJ in this episode is also like struggling. We're gonna sidebar into the next one, which is AJ is struggling with her relationship with her mom, who Ollie called
out.
Is the blonde prostitute who is not actually blonde. But who is not actually blonde in a Pretty Woman move, which I appreciated, pulls it off and she's like a brunette underneath.
Yeah.
Do you know who I thought that was in the trailer? I thought that was Jay Jolie in the
trailer.
Oh,
no, not Jay Jolie, who's a very talented queen. Taylor Swift.
She's playing
Louisville.
She is. Oh, I don't know who she
you
is.
You need to follow
is
her
she?
And look at her looks. She's really good.
Yeah, she works at Play in Louisville.
She's awesome.
Awesome.
But so anyway, so AJ's mom is the prostitute, and
no, we don't call her prostitute. We call her sex worker.
Sex worker.
Yes.
We don't sex call
her
worker.
It could be empowering.
Yes, sex worker is like politically correct now. Because they don't like being called hookers. Or
is escort still on the table?
No, sex worker.
No, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, sex worker. We'll go with that because we don't need them reading you in the comments again, Jackie B.
True.
Sex
not that,
worker.
Not that I'm against you being a sex worker. I don't have a problem.
No, everybody's welcome. Just give us 5 stars on our podcast.
Subscribe.
Sex worker. That's the word.
So she's arrested and she is in jail and her phone was like smashed on the floor in the scuffle and she's trying to get a hold of AJ and AJ has misplaced her phone.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this whole scenario where, you know, Ruby thinks that AJ is freaking out about the phone because she's being a typical kid. Like,
yeah. And I was
play
too.
With my phone.
I was too.
Yeah, I thought that too until you realize that it's AJ's only way to contact her mom.
Which means they still talk. Because it seems like they just not talk at all.
Right.
But we'll see.
It's very interesting.
I know. I can't, I'm not excited, but I'm interested to see how that develops because, like, AJ's obviously having some issues with, you know, being seen as a woman because of, like, who her mom is. And then she's also criticizing Ruby in the meantime for being like, oh, well, you dress like a woman, blah, 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 you know. So I assume that will resolve later on.
I just also love the parallel between her and, like, Ruby and how they both have kind of been, like, not ghosted in a sense, but kind of left. Like, AJ's been left by her mom, even though the mom seemed like she wanted to get in contact with AJ, but she was being arrested.
Right.
So I was
kind
of like, I didn't know how to feel about the mom's reaction, but also clearly Ruby's been, like, ghosted by Damian Sanchez. So it seems like there was something that stood out to me about the whole soulmate thing about from Oprah.
Oatmeal.
And so, oatmeal. sorry. Oatmeal. And how, like, that old tape was playing in the background about finding your soulmate who doesn't have to necessarily have
you
to
know,
mean, like,
love like, sexual,
romantic relationship.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I thought, like, oh, maybe, like, there's a soulmate connection between AJ and Ruby. Obviously, clearly not romantic by any means, but they both, like,
They're
a lot similar than they like to lead on, and I think they can really learn and grow from each other by being together and to be able to give each other like room to grow and
I think
balance
you're my
each other
soulmate.
Out.
Aww.
Jayla, this has already been established.
Aww.
Well, speaking of Damien.
See, this is worth going to the YouTube if you're on iTunes because you get all that good
stuff.
Yeah,
it was a hug.
There was a hug. There might have been a kiss.
Oh. Yeah.
For podcast listeners.
So speaking of Damien, we have Damien breaking into Ruby's apartment to find Louis there. And this is another hysterical scene to me where, like, Ruby is talking on the phone to Louis while Damien's breaking in. And Ruby's, like, basically shouting, like, he's in the background. You know, they're in the background. Yeah. They're coming in. And Louis is, like, totally oblivious.
But, like, Louis did you really have so this, funny. Like, say the whole, like, I won't tell anybody that you're in Pittsburgh for 2 days at the... Why would you say that? Like, you already know where I am. Like, I wouldn't just be like, oh, yeah, you're at 366 Plaza Meadow View. Like, I wouldn't say that on FaceTime. But I don't know. I guess for the sake of the show, we find out that they are in Pittsburgh.
Me, right.
Yeah. I won't tell them that you took the Burbank Airport to Pittsburgh and your flight number was in your boarding pass. Like, I wouldn't say that.
We're sharing locations right now on our phones.
No, I do share my location with people on my phone in case I ever get, you know, got somewhere.
Right.
But I don't know. I found that part very, like,
That was part of the camp. Yeah. Yeah. To me, that was part of the camp. It was like such a campy shtick.
I was like, when I saw it, my face was like, oh, okay, now I'm not happy. I'm mad at Louis for this.
I'm mad at Damien for attacking Louis. And then Lady Danger, I thought we could trust her at one point when they brought her in, but nope, she went on and turned on Louis, so I was really disappointed.
See, this is why I think she can be flipped, but that's later on.
But like,
you said that on the episode one, and I love that you said that because I totally feel that as well.
Yeah.
But then she flipped in this episode, and I was like, oh, y'all were right about these predictions, but I feel like they weren't predictions because y'all already seen the episode.
No. I feel like she's going to... We can get more into it, but I do feel like she's going to flip for good, like for the good side, for the Ruby drag queen side.
Well, she is injecting motor oil in the girls, honey. I don't trust her.
And he is, well, he's like done so because they mentioned in the episode that he's specifically targeting like older queens as his target. Remember that?
Yeah.
So
that's and that really hurt. Sad. Rue hearing that. Yes, because Rue heard that when the officer was stating what the scenario was. And to have to hear that hurt so bad for us, even, you know. Yeah.
And he's deleting his old picture. We've all been there.
Yeah.
I know.
Am I right?
Keep the nudes.
Don't keep
the nudes.
No, do not keep the nudes. Get new nudes. Get new nudes.
This is a discussion.
That's always advice.
I kind of feel like you're right, though, right? Keep them? Yeah.
No,
blackmail. No.
Let us know in the comments. Should we keep the nudes or delete the nudes, honey? Let me know. Delete the nudes.
No, you know what you do? You send them to a friend, so sometimes they just can send them to you if you want.
No, I'm not going to send unsolicited dick pics to my friends that aren't like somebody else. Like, I don't know. That's weird. Like, I say keep them.
I delete them.
It's worth the conversation at another
time.
Yeah, come on, comments. Let us know.
Okay, so Damien ends up at the diner where Ruby and AJ are.
Yes.
And they see that he's there, so they're escaping. AJ slashes his tires, and then they jump in the car, and then they immediately get into a car accident, and that's where the episode ends.
Oh. So now they're stuck there. Hopefully. No, listen. That big-ass RV, I would hit up. Have y'all ever played Simpsons Road Rage?
Oh, Simpsons Hit and Run.
Yeah, that one too. So you freaking... I would take off. Oh, well. Hope you got insurance, boo.
I like the fact that they're using that they're using an RV, because I also feel like it's like a Priscilla Queen of the Desert
right
call. Yes. Like, so I appreciate that. But any last thoughts before we get to quote of the week and fan of the week?
Maria is not his sister, is his wife.
Mm.
Yes.
I clocked that when she was in the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And how'd you know that for sure?
Because she was on the FaceTime at the on the phone at the beginning of the first episode. And I was
so
like,
it's
oh,
not actually his sister.
Yeah.
Got it.
He just the lining, it's 30 ass, musty ass. No, I'm just kidding.
He's very sexy, though. I'm sorry. I have to
he's that sexy.
He's very sexy.
No, he is.
Okay, Patrick, Officer Patrick, he's much more sexy.
I think they both are.
He is very sexy.
I think they both are. I like his character, too, Officer Patrick. Yeah. That's the one that used to be with Gus, right? Gus Kenworthy?
J-Lo's making
really?
Face. Yeah.
I'm not here for it.
Will Cuss or something like that is his name. He's the one that used to be with Gus. What's the guy's name?
Kenworthy.
Yeah, they were together.
He's also delicious.
I don't think anymore. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they were together for a little bit.
In the comments, who do you like better, Damien or Officer
Patrick?
Patrick.
And would you keep their nudes?
Well, Chucky Chuck said keep the nudes. Our friend Chucky Chuck said keep the nudes.
Chucky, no, be better. Be better. Be better, Chucky.
I like
Chucky.
The way Ellie said get new nudes, acquire new nudes.
Thank you, like that's going to help.
It is. It is.
So the quote of the week is... when AJ says, "You're not my mother," to Ruby, Ruby says, "I'm not. I'm a drag queen on a cross-country road tour, so unless you're a pair of boobs or some duct tape, you don't belong in my RV."
Yes! I love it.
I also like the part where the first kid in America that's a top or something like that.
Oh, yeah!
I loved
it. I can't. I love Jinx's character.
It's so good. So good. I watched this episode twice, and I just locked into that character. It was fantastic. Yeah.
And then fans of the week are Ken Ken and Joseph Boza.
Yes. Ken Ken's in the chat right now.
Yeah.
So they are freaking out.
They're happy we're back, and they're happy we're covering the show.
Yes.
So, thanks, thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
We love our fans.
So now we're at predictions.
After Buzz TV predictions.
Oh, I was ready to do a little dance.
Oh, yeah.
Little rain dance.
I'm still holding on to my prediction that unless going forward we see more, but I still feel that, like, Tia Carrera's character, Lady Danger, is going to be like the Miss Hannigan. She's going to, like, regret all that she's done because secretly she does love the queens. So I feel like that's what's going to happen in the end.
I'm going to have to add on to that, but I'm going to twist it just a little bit. I feel like Lady Danger is like the undercover. Like she's
An undercover cop or something?
Or something of the sort. She's gonna be working against him, but she's working with him now to get all the information that she needs to rat him out at the end, honey. Now, I don't know if I'm right or wrong if y'all watched it already, so don't say it in the comments, but just watch it with us and listen to us.
Yeah.
Imagine she got a little recorder right there in the iPad.
What is that eye patch for? We don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
I like both of your theories, and I could see them both. It seems like Damien, he won't have a redeeming quality, no. I just feel like going forward, maybe Lewis... We don't know if Lewis is going to meet Ruby, but I would love to see Lewis sort of come to the aid of Ruby at some point and really, like, step up as, like, that really great best friend. I guess that would be my only prediction, is just, like, where we see more Lewis being there at a really crucial time for Ruby. Yeah.
I think, speaking of Lewis, I'll say my prediction. I think since he has such high attachment to Officer Patrick and What's-Her-Face, the mom's
locked up. And you called that, too, that they were going to be together.
Totally. And I think that now that the mom's locked up, maybe Patrick, he kind of has, like, ties. He's going to be, like, the bridge to Lois and the mom. AJ's Did we get her name? The mom's? AJ's mom yet?
J. Jolie. No, I don't know.
J. Jolie. The mom's. So I think, like, that's going to be the bridge to kind of reunite them in order to help her character grow, because she's clearly, like, screwed up right now, and she needs to be reunited with her daughter at some point.
Yeah, well, and it will be exciting to see. It'll be exciting to see the mother. Because, you know, when we see these stories, it's like we only just see, like, the darker side.
Yeah.
Like, you think... and I think...
We need to, like, sympathize with her.
They're going to be one big happy family. Yeah, like five.
That happened. You know, this doesn't... You don't set to have your daughter be...
Right.
Like, I can only communicate with the cell phone. Like, I'm interested to see where that goes and get those flashbacks or whatever they are.
Right.
Because we may, like, you know, really see that she is an okay woman. And, I mean, she is already, but... Well, it's a challenge.
I just hope that, like, maybe the end of the season, it's Thanksgiving, and they're all sitting at the table.
They're all stuffing a turkey.
Sex workers and all. Everybody's sitting at the table having their nice little dinner as one happy family. So maybe we get to see AJ, mom.
All conversations are on the table.
Breaking bread.
Yeah. Family of four.
The mom could talk about her
family
rates.
Family of five, including
the
Patrick,
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So the only news and gossip I have is that...
Boom!
Woo! Is that Drag Race got a GLAAD Award nomination for
Yeah.
And the crowd goes wild. Round of applause.
We're still waiting on Riz Academy Award.
We're still waiting on the announcement for season 5 or All Stars 5, 6, 5.
Oh my god. 5 and
5. 12 and Celebrity.
Yes. Once we know this, we'll let you
know. No, Celebrity is January or February, right?
I think it's just recording, isn't it? Well, who knows? I don't know.
We'll find out. We'll let you know.
Any last thoughts, guys, before we go?
Just that I like it, and I was saying to somebody, one of our programmers here before I came in with you guys, that I like that, because I think even yesterday Mark had like some questions about the pilot, and I like that people are being critical, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when you have this type of content, it's a great queer show, it's on Netflix, like, it's not one of these things that, like, started small and then, you know, became bigger. I think it is nice that we're all critical, and I don't want it to look like that is a negative thing. So, you know, because there have been some people like, it ain't that good. That's good. Yeah. You should, because we can't give Rue, we love Rue, Mama Rue, but we can't give Rue, like, such a pass. We got to kind of be like, is this good? And it's turning out to be good.
Oh, we shade her all the time on Drag Race After Show.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. Well, then that's already
so
check mark.
I'm not doing this for... Rue the queen, Rue the entertainer is what I'm grasping it for. And I'm watching the show with an open heart and an open mind and turning my brain off, not trying to find anything wrong with the show and just simply enjoying it like our fans are. And that's all I'm doing. So I can't wait for the next episode and episode 3.
Yeah.
Y'all better give me some tea.
I watched episode 2 twice and it was great. Emotional. I love it.
Well, thank you guys for watching us. You can find me 123 Jackie B on all platforms. Ronnie, where can they find you?
Randomly RJ, and I have a YouTube channel that is on its way. So look out and have fun with that.
We're into ASMR. Yeah.
I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Mukbang.
What that mouth do?
Yeah, Jayla's the program director. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, God.
The frog is back.
Oh, the frog is back. You guys can watch me flex it on the gram. Follow me at Who is Jayla Rocks. That's 2X3 if you nasty.
Oh, and I am.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll talk after the show.
Nasty, y'all. And I'm Ollie Drennan. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ollie Dreamer.
Thanks, you guys.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.